Okay. Anyway, so let's just jump right in. You remember that the Vineyard Church across Canada has been on this journey, if you want to call it a journey or conversations, the last 6 months with regards to discussing the whole cultural issue of sexuality and gender, and specifically concerning our LGBTQ brothers and sisters in Christ and what the way forward looks like for Vineyard Canada. 3 weeks ago, I read that letter. If you weren't here, I'm not going to reread it today, but at some point we will post it. That has to be all figured out as far as how that looks and what it looks like. So I had said then 3 weeks ago that the elders hadn't yet met, because it came out on the 5th, I spoke on the 9th, and the elders hadn't met as far as to discuss, you know, the aspects of the letter and where we stand. David and Anita, our national directors, they have given the churches about a month. Figure out where you're moving forward as far as that goes, because churches just do, right? Because it's we're working with boards and working with council of elders that are all volunteer, and it takes time to discuss this stuff. Anyway, we met to discuss the letter, and while individually as elders, we have varied thoughts and opinions on it, and that's just, we just do. And but together as elders, we accept the letter as written in full. And that's the simple statement. To be more specific, though, this is what we as a local body are saying, okay? And it's in line with the letter. It's just what I'm doing is just making it real, less wordy than the letter is, and just getting, you know, what the basic points are. So we as a local body are saying this, that first, we will hold to the traditional view of marriage, male and female. We will extend ordination to those who are same-sex attracted, who are celibate, or in a traditional marriage. We agree that same-sex orientation is not a sin. The process of transformation in a believer's life who is same-sex attracted does not mean that will change. What transformation looks like in a believer's life varies from person to person. Fourth, Vineyard Canada has left it to the local church to determine the pathways for discipleship and leadership. And here at Cambridge Vineyard, we have based it, and we have done this right from our inception. We have based it on three things and will continue to do so. One, the person that who wants to be in leadership has a desire, expresses a desire to be in leadership. Two, we as a church recognize the gift of leadership on that person. That's just standard. And three, and most importantly, is their character has been tested. And that takes time. That's why we always say, come and hang out with us. Let us get to know you. You get to know us. But that's that whole thing of seeing your character. Because it's character, you know, you could say you're a great leader and we could see that you have leadership abilities. But if your character will always sink the boat, right? You know, it's like the iceberg. That what you see when you hire a person, their skills, their abilities, their talents, that's what we base our hiring on. What fires a person is what you don't see. It sinks your boat. Your character sinks your boat, right? That's where how you end up usually getting, not all the time, but usually. So that's the criteria we have been. That's will continue for everybody. We agree with Vineyard Canada that there are still many questions that need to be addressed regarding sexuality and gender. Next, every human being is unique and has a life story that is unique to them. Therefore, it is incumbent upon all of us to first seek to understand others before we are understood. And it's just the whole thing of, until you sit down and listen with somebody and know their story, you don't really understand where it is they're coming from. And finally, we do not hold those holding a different conviction in a category of heresy, nor do we insist that all think alike. That's what the letter stated. That's what we stand with as well. And I have echoed that over the past few years, that we see things differently. We are like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we see through a glass darkly. And Paul included himself in that, that we don't see everything. We don't understand everything. So we hold that with open hands, and we give grace to one another. We do that already. Denominations like have different thoughts. You talk to different believers and there's different thoughts all along. Now let me add something here to this as well. Guys, you can't forget. When I take a step back and what brought me to the vineyard, one of the key things that brought me to the vineyard was how they loved on people. That was profound for April and I. We love well. Perfectly? Not at all. Nobody loves perfectly. But we love well. We do our best to receive whoever comes through our door and love them well. Where we get snagged and where churches get snagged is one of two things. One, when we, and I've said this, when we focus more on position than we do our posture. That to me is paramount. That's important because we can all state position, but if we mess up on the posture, we blow it. Example, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders in Jesus' time. They had it all, they had their position down pat, but posture-wise, they missed it. They missed it by a long shot. And Jesus called them on it. The other thing is when we let ministries or our programs be the motivation for what we do, rather than the motivation being the transformation that's taken place in our heart that's rooted in the greatest commandment, loving God, loving people, and also the what we call the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do to you. When that's not our motivation, when that isn't what drives us, if it's programs, generally what we want is we want to see the program succeed and we have things we need want to achieve. You know, we set, you know, the high water marks, what we want to achieve. And what happens is, we don't intend to do this, but people can become projects, or this whole thing can become a project that we'll go out and do this. It's like we're going to be, next week, we are launching the Pray and Go, where we want to pray for, you know, as many of our households in Cambridge as we possibly can, and also where you live. But if the goal is simply to, we want to hang the door, all the door, 1,000 door hangers, that can't be it. We want to seed this so that we are people who pray for our neighbors, regardless of whether there's a program called Pray and Go or whatever you want to call it. That we pray for our city. We pray for our people. We pray for when we're on the streets. We pray. Those two things then can get us off track. And I'm a believer that when the love of God grips us, when that grips us, the whole thing of, you know, fixing people, that's a non-issue. It's not about that. And as I said, all are welcomed here. And they all are. Everybody is welcomed here, literally. We welcome all people. Put it this way. We treat people in the same way I'd want to be treated if I go to somebody's church, if I go to a church. There's a certain way I want to be treated, with respect, with dignity, to be accepted for who I am, not for who you hope I become. Don't do that. If I even get a hint that I'm on your project list, I'm gone. Like, seriously. Like, and now, I'm probably overboard on that. I'm sensitive to that. It's just like when I walk into a store and the salesperson tells me, oh, how they love my jacket. And wow, I've had that experience, you know. Awesome jacket. You look so good in that. It's like, dude, you don't even know me. Go away. You've lost your sale. I don't care what you're selling. I'm gone, right? Because it's not real. You're not treating me like a real person. We love well. Christine and George, this is just an example. They model well what it means to love unconditionally. You know, in some ways, you guys, you don't have boundaries because you just let anybody come in and you just love on them. And if they need a lunch, they give them a lunch, and then they give them a takeout. Like, it's like generosity, right? But that's the gospel, right? Kylie's the same in the Oaks. Tab's the same in Breakfast Club. It's what we do. It's in our DNA. And yeah, it would be good if Christine and George were a little more frugal and just gave out a little bit. But man, they so want to follow what Jesus, the way Jesus was, right? Here, let's feed all the 5,000 people. Oh, we got 12 baskets left over. It's that whole thing of generosity. It's that whole thing. We model loving well. We will continue to model that, what it looks like. So the question becomes then, where do we go from here? Now, I don't know about you, but throughout all of this, and I have said this to some of you in our talks, but for me, the last year, it feels like with all the intensity, and the talks have been intense, and the discussions tense, and the emails tense, with all of that, and the noise of just people, right? And I've been part of that people. But with that, just a sense of disorientation for me. Like, just like, you know, if you get spun up, you know, you hear of pilots, you know, that they get in the clouds or in the fog or whatever, and they don't know which way is up. They lose everything. And that's what it's felt like, this whole sense of disorientation at first and not knowing, you know, which way is up. A good example, this is the example that automatically comes to mind. You know, in medieval times, when kingdoms would go to war and the armies, right, they would engage in like this hand-to-hand combat. You know, the medieval battles, you know, they all earn their knights and shining armor and their maces and their weapons. And then it's like, charge! And they come into the middle and it's just mayhem. It's just like, what a mess. Who thought this, right? And that's how sometimes, you know, that's the feeling of disorientation. It's like, okay, where are we going? What are we, who's on whose side here? Like, what is all this, right? What's interesting, though, in the medieval times, and you read it in Scripture, it's not just then, it's also, you read it in Scripture about the armies going out with people out in front and they have someone who's carrying a banner. Well, the person carrying the banner was really important, right? It was really important because when you had that time of disorientation, general, captain, I don't know, bring the troops back, you know, regroup. You know, the call would go out to regroup, but the person with the banner holds that up, right? Holds that up. And they know, you look for that, and you go there. It's like getting reoriented, getting your bearings back. You go and you regroup there. And as I was preparing this over and over and over, and so I had to call him yesterday, but Gerald Skase, you know, he has that big flag, right? Right? And I just sensed over and over and over, like Jesus saying, like, he doesn't flag for me. He's holding a banner up for people. That if they're disoriented or if they're lost or if they don't know, gather around what that banner is. And those banners would have the insignia of either the king and queen or the kingdom or what it stands for. And that what Gerald is doing, he's holding that banner up to regroup, to come together. That here's where you belong. Here's where you need to come, right? And they regain their center point. We do that. And we need to gather around. And so we don't have that disorientation. I've shown this video. I'm not showing a video this morning. But there's this video I've shown that's still out there, in fact. But a guy by the name of Simon Sinek, he's known for this video on YouTube called Start With Why. And he talks about what's called the golden circle. Three concentric circles. And the outward one is what we do. The middle one is how, and the middle one is why. And he says, when you ask people can generally tell you what they do, or a company, or an organization, or a church. They can tell you what they do, they can tell you how they do it. But as far as to why you do it, that becomes the struggle. That's hard to articulate. People don't know their why. And if you don't know your why, it's hard to inspire people, but it's also hard to know why you do what you do. And you need to know your why. You need to know that. And so there are a lot of companies, a lot of people, you talk to people and it's like they think they know their why, right? And it's that thing that fires everything else you do. That when you know your why, it fires everything else. After these past 6 months, you may be asking yourself the question, so what is our why, Cambridge Vineyard? What is our why, right? I've asked that. And I had that sense before going into it, saying to our elders and our board, we can't lose what we're about, what our vision is, because this thing has the power that it could take us way off track, and we don't want that. When you think of why, here's a question. What's God's why? That's a good one. And you know what? There could be varied answers, and I think a lot of them could be correct. What came to mind for me was in John 3:16, the first few words of that verse, which says, "For this is how God loved the world." That, to me, I would define as God's why. It's not telling a what, not telling a how. It's telling what motivates God to do what God does. So that'd be my guess of what God's why is. Jesus, what's Jesus' why? And I thought about that. You know, I was thinking, you know, it must be, you know, our Isaiah 61 verse, that passage that we always quote, right? You know, that's quoted in Luke chapter 4. And I was like, I don't think so. The thing, as I drill down into that, I see Jesus' why is John 10, the last little part of John 10:10. You know, he says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's my purpose. That's what he comes for, which really ties in what God's all about, because there's a separation from the creator of all life that has taken place, and God is pursuing to get that reconnected again. And then you go, what's the Holy Spirit's why? A little harder. Again, the only one I could think about is in John 14, where it says that the Holy Spirit comes to testify about Jesus. That the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus, always, is always pointing to Jesus. The Holy Spirit within us. Jesus says, I'm going to leave, but it's good that I leave, because then the Holy Spirit will be in us. And it's all about God's presence with us, with his people. So you look at that, but then you have to come down. Why does Cambridge Vineyard exist? Why? What's our why? What is our center, our rallying point? What is it we pull people to? What is it that we're drawn to that we all need to come back to? And here's just a quick sidebar thought for you. As I'm sure many of you are aware, in the Western world, church attendance is rapidly declining. That's a fact. Plain and simple. That's not even argued about anymore. It is in decline. And I wonder if one of the reasons why is that the church has forgotten its why, what it's all about. I wonder. I don't know for sure, and they don't know for sure. They just know they're looking at things and it's going, wow, what's going on? And it may be. But here's what our why cannot be. Our why cannot be any of the ministries or programs we are engaged in. That cannot be our why. We'll lose it if we make any of those our why. It's not Urban Hope, it's not Breakfast Club, it's not youth, worship, prayer ministry, home church, small groups, focus groups, any of that thing. It's not that. Here's another thing it cannot be. It can't be our worship music or our style of our worship. Can't be. We can't gather for that. You know, that becomes old really quick. That can't be our why for why we do everything. And your why can definitely not be that, well, we just go to church once a week. That's what we do. That's what Christians do. They go to church once a week. Oh my gosh, if you're just coming just because this is what you do, that's not really inspiring, right? It's not something you want to do just by rote, just like, you know, the way you brush your teeth every day. Even brushing your teeth has a why, right? Doctrinal statements and statements of faith and the Vineyard letter that came out from Vineyard Canada, that can't be our why either. You can't make that the why. These are things we might believe in, but it's not our why. You still have to hit what is our why. And if these past few months, if these discussions have become our why, then you can understand why there's the anxiety, why we're feeling maybe the way we are, that we're actually feeling disoriented. But if you feel like you've lost your why in all of this, then I'm here today to say, I'm lifting up the banner, the rallying point from what I'm calling you to. And there is only one banner that gets lifted up, only one. And that is Jesus. That's the only banner that gets lifted up. And the reason I say that, like, guys, listen, this morning when I shared with you there at the break about the whole thing of this galaxy cluster and the magnitude of God, that's the thing that brings me down to my face. Music won't bring me, well, some music can bring me down to my face because some of it is just moves me. But that brings me down. That answers all of life's questions for me in the sense of when I recognize who this God is, this creator, this one who created all things from him. That's what moves me. Jesus is our why. Right? When Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was saying, this is your why. I am the why. I am the why for you. I am your why. The why, if you want to know what the why of Scripture is, it's Jesus. The Old Testament speaks to what's coming. The New Testament looks back. Everything culminates at that. The whole culmination of Jesus being the why is found in Revelation. And it's not about the end times. It's about the vision John has of heaven and what John sees. And if you go to Revelation 4 and 5, those chapters, they are amazing, amazing writings in Scripture. That what takes place. And Krista led us in that song about crown him with many crowns. Or in Revelation there, John has he's having this vision that's taking place. And what he sees is he sees, and you know it's got to be a vision because he sees four living beings. One looks like a lion, one an ox, one a human being, and one like an eagle in flight. And this is what they're saying as they are around the throne, because in the center is the throne and the one who sits on the throne. And these four living beings are saying this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. And then it adds that there's 24 elders around the throne as well. And they're saying, you are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things and they exist because you created what you pleased. I think that's it. Yes. Well, that's for four, right? And this is going on. It goes into five. And then in chapter five, John says he looked and he saw. And what he says there, he says this. This is John 5:11. Then I looked again and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels. I'm guessing it was like, I can't count this. And I think if John knew the word trillion, he probably would have said trillion of angels. But it speaks of the infinity, right, of creation, but all these angels around the throne, and the living beings and the elders. In other words, everybody. And it says, and they sang in a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Now, if that doesn't tell you what the why is, I don't know what will. But everything orbits this. Everything. Everything orbits it. Everything. Everything is just orbiting this. And this is what John sees. And who knows what that does? Oh, yeah. But just the verse before that, John writes, "And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang." The beauty of that is that includes your dog and your cat and your gerbil and guinea pig and whatever else, right? That includes everything. Well, according to what John saw, I don't know. But everything, everything, everything. Skunks, birds, ducks, geese, fish, sharks, everything. Everything giving glory. It's our why. It's why we do that. Jesus is our why. So next time, now Gerald's just coming back from a cruise. Next time you see him here and you see that banner go up, remember what that's about. He's holding that up. Rally around. This is our why. This is our why. This is it. This is it, guys. This is why we do what we do. This is why. This is it. It's what we orbit around. And if you have lost your why, I have raised the banner. It's what we're about. When April and I first came to the Vineyard, one of the things that attracted us was some of the simple songs that were sung just to Jesus. This intimate pouring out to Jesus that was going on. Just this intimate, this deep, and it was just powerful, wasn't it? The first, yeah, it was just like, what is that we've walked into? Like, what is this? They're so in love with Jesus. And look, if you're here and you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about, believe me, this has captured our hearts. This has captured my heart. We would die for it, not because of any denomination or anything like that. We would die for this cause because it's who Jesus is. It's what Jesus has done to us. Jesus has leveled us, right? In a good way. Jesus is the way. It's not. We're not saying that in an exclusive manner. We're saying that in an inclusive manner, that it's the answer to humanity. It's the answer to all creation. And at one day, someday, all of creation is going to declare this. Everything. Everything will. Everything is just going to declare it. My fear for people for the decline in church isn't the decline in church. My fear is that people have lost their passion and their awe in Jesus. They've lost that. And it's like, don't lose that. Like, but it sounds like they have. I don't want that. So what is our why, Cambridge Vineyard? What is our why? That is Jesus.